Blessings to everyone. Glad everyone's able to be here with us. Praying for the weather. Definitely inclement weather. Trying to get everything figured out. Moved around. Different view today. But it'll be all right. And I'm thankful to be here and able to be out. I know we had a lot that had asked, you know, what we're going to do. And I appreciate it. I waited till the very last minute. My desire is not to cancel. My desire is to keep moving forward. And it's definitely humid. You can tell that the weather is sticky. Rain is on the way. Didn't want the sound equipment wet, so we moved it under the porch. True drive-in service today. Got a few out in chairs. It's good to see everyone. And I hope we've got some on YouTube watching as well. And look forward to a good day. See what the Lord has in store. Amen. Brother Russell.
Amen. It's good to see everybody this morning. Let's go ahead and turn our page to our hymn books to 22.
Amen.
Are you washed in the blood? And everybody's in the vehicle, so I ain't gonna make them stand or whatever this morning. But the ones that want to stand, they can. But are you washed in the blood? Father, Lord, it's good to be back in your house today, Lord, and just thank you for the weather you've given us this morning. It's just like it's going to hold out, but whatever you give us, Lord, I'm just glad you're there with us to help us endure it, Lord, and just be with the ones that's sick this morning and couldn't make it, and just hopefully they're watching on YouTube, and touch Brother Jeff and touch his heart, Lord, and let him preach your word this morning, and we just thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, y'all can be seated. Let's turn to page 215. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
Thank you.
heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, what a blessing it is to be out here again. I did not look at the calendar before I came out to see who has a birthday this next week or this coming week. Anyone have a birthday this week, anniversary this week? All right, sounds good to me. Miss Betty, you raising your hand? Your birthday? She's not going to admit to it anyway. Amen. Hey, nope. All right. Amen. I couldn't tell if she was raising her hand or not. Amen. And so, no birthdays or anniversaries this week, but I am thankful to be here. I do ask you to keep us in prayer and pray for the safety of our nation, pray for the safety of the church, just with everything going on as things are starting to open back up. I just pray that the right decisions are made, and that's really all the announcements I have at this time. I look forward to what the Lord's got in store. Pray for our bus ministry. Definitely miss the bus kids. Amen. And just see what, go ahead, brother. Just see what the Lord has in store. Amen. We've got the Sutton family coming up, getting to sing a special for us today.
Amen.
And probably have that mic just a wee bit high. And can't hardly hear it over with Brother James on the guitar. I couldn't hear Brother Russell, so I turned him up. And now I think I got him too high. So, amen. All right, brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Put something up there.
Testing?
Turn that, turn them. They did. Give me something like this. Your microphone's about to
turn. Yeah,
you see the man.
It's already on. It's already on.
Keep on the phone. Like that. Like that. I want you to hold that. I want to be able to hear you. Excuse me. All right, you ready? And hold it where y'all can hold that when you're ready to sing.
Let's do.
Okay. I couldn't hear me.
If it touches your you blood, it's definitely there.
Can you hear me now?
Amen.
Okay. Salvation so simple.
Let's turn to page 243. Victory in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I heard no glory.
got one more song, and I don't know if we necessarily need it with music or anything. I think it's one that most of you'll know. Bring this down just a little bit. But page 176, if you've got a hymn book with you, page 176. It's Jesus Loves the Little Children. I was going to have Jeremiah sing it, and I don't know that he knows it well enough to sing it by himself. And then I thought about having all the kids, and then I was like, well, then we got social distance issues, and so we'll just sing it together as a group. Most of you probably know it. I've grown up on this song. This is a song that I sang as a child in Sunday school, at Vacation Bible School. And we didn't have all kinds of fancy songs when I was growing up. We just sang the old songs. Victory in Jesus, Dwelling in Beulah Land, Love Lifted Me. Those are all songs that I remember from my childhood. And Jesus loves the little children. And it goes with the message today, so I'd like us to sing it. If you know it, sing out with me now. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Such simple words, isn't it? I mean, really, we know it, we've heard it, but how much do we really put it in heart? Take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn over to the book of... boy, I'm loud with this, aren't I? Amen. Turn over! Amen. Praise the Lord. I think all of Pembroke will be able to hear me now. I kind of like it under here. Does that sound like I'm in a tunnel? Amen. I'll turn it down just a little bit. I might be a little high here.
How's that?
Is that better? Too much? Too little? Yeah, too little. Here, we'll turn it this way. And Amen. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
I'm talking about downtown. Can you hear me? Amen. Woo! This will be a good message to broadcast this loud. Amen. 1 John chapter number 2, if you would. I don't know how many have noticed we're in a problem. We have a problem today. Not just a nation, but as a church, we have a problem. And it breaks my heart as we watch and see what all's taking place and how things are going in our country. And it should break everyone's heart to see how sad and the problems that are going on today. Is that a little better? Not reverbing quite as bad now? Amen. 1 John chapter number 2. If you're willing and able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I've got 11 verses, or 12 technically. First 11 verses I want to read that we'll get started on. And I might go a little more, might go a little less. We'll be all right. Just bear with me and let me preach. One thing that this is gearing me up for is our tent meetings. I haven't preached outside this much since we've had tent meetings, and that tent's been bothering me sitting back there. I'm anxious to get it back out and get going. But one thing that you forget about, and it's amazing, I forget it every week, that there's wind. It turns Bible pages. Amen. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now everyone likes that. Like to be called a liar. And so we find in verse number 5 as well, but whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. And he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you,
Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the sweet breeze that's blowing through. And Father, the mild temperatures that we're feeling today. Lord, I know we've got rain on the way and how desperately we need it. Lord, we truly are in a stage where I need rain on the garden that you've provided, Lord. And Father, I'm thankful for how you take care of us. Lord, that we're able to meet together as an assembly, Lord. And Father, have some that are in person and actually here that we can hear and praise you together as a church. And Lord, I'm thankful for those that are able to tune in, be with us there during the service through the internet, Lord. And it's a blessing to have you be able to provide in every specific need that's out there. Lord, we need you today. We need to hear from you. Father, our country's in a mess. Lord, our churches are in a mess. And Lord, I pray that you would just show yourself real today. Father, meet the needs that are out there. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We are in a mess. I look at America and America is divided once again. It's another election year. It's almost guaranteed that every time that there's an election, every time that someone's wanting to push an agenda, there's going to be some divisions that are brought up. I think about the divisions that we have today as a nation, that we're divided by parties. And then it can even break down even more. The parties seem to be divided amongst the parties. And I think about the division that we have of money. We've got the rich class over here and the medium class over here and the poor class. Miss Betty, you need to move over. Amen. But then the poor class is up here. Amen. And we just look at the divisions and we begin to look at how we view each other as a country. And we look at that divided. And may I tell you, there's even this idea today of division by race because of where you came from, or what nationality or what color your skin is. And I find that hatred is filling the hearts to the point of rage. I find that it's brother fighting against brother. Instead of all of us being Americans, now we're trying to divide ourselves up and find out which group we fit in, instead of just saying that we're Americans and we all love each other. And we came to that place that it's now brother fighting against brother. May I remind you the time that we did that? It was back in 1860s. Well, it was called the Civil War, when brother fought against brother. And don't think that it was for racism. Don't think it was for slavery. It was all due to the government and the involvement and the taxes and everything going on. And it's still being driven today. I'm not preaching politics, but may I tell you that agendas are being moved by the emotions of the American people. And in this agenda, I'm sorry, and this may upset some, but I'm telling you, some of these that are activists could care less about you. Don't care one little nickel about you as long as they have it coming to them. Don't think for a moment that one of these that are speaking and making decisions for the country would care if you were truly in poverty and really needed a hand while they're sitting in their mansions with millions. They will not give you a dime. They know all the loopholes to get out of the taxes that they're making you pay. I'm not trying to preach politics, but listen to me. It's time that we wake up as a nation and understand that our enemy is not each other. Amen. And so I find as well that many jump on the bandwagon, but few pull the cart. Oh, there's many. You know, I'm going to make some of you mad here, but bear with me. We were there in Claxton on Monday, and we went to our farm, and we were out there and just having a time, and we came back and they're holding up signs, honk for equality. And I know, preacher, you laid on the horn. Absolutely not, because they don't mean that. They don't mean that. You see, if I was to really speak about what equality is, I've got a couple here that They own a business, and Brother Richard, Brother Stephen, if you were to hire someone, true equality would be that you get an application filled out and their name's not on it. True equality would be that there's no race on it. There's no gender on it. That you only go off of experience, not because of who they are or where they came from or what gender they were born. Oh, and by the way, there's still only two genders. You say, preacher, how do you believe that? How do you know that? Because even the government, when they're reporting the results of the COVID virus, report it for a male and report it for a female. There's still only two genders. And so, if it's true equality, it wouldn't be because of a race, of a minority. It wouldn't be because of the gender that you're born. It wouldn't be because you're a veteran. Listen to me. There's some benefits that I have because I'm a veteran. That you don't have if you're not. That's not equality. Equality means that it's level across the board. Equality means that everyone's on the same plane, everyone's on the same place, and everyone's quick to jump on that bandwagon. I want you to look at 1 John chapter number 3. I want you to look at verse number 18. May I tell you that there's a lot of people that talk a good talk, but they could care less about where you really are. In 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The book of 1 John is a letter written to the church. It's God's guidance for our actions. It teaches us how to live. You know what's sad to me? That you're looked down upon if you say that everyone matters. That everyone's important. May I tell you, when God created man and woman, He created man and woman, and you're one of the two, and you're just as equal. I know you're going to say, well, preacher, how did we get all the different races? Talk to Noah and his descendants. Listen, it's all history. It's all in the Bible. And they're all equal. We all came from Adam and Eve. We all came off of Noah and his children. It's history. You didn't come from anyone else. We're all the same. And we all need Christ. May I tell you that the book of 1 John gives us the example for others to see. For us to live. Brother Richard, don't you dare honk your horn. Amen. I see him getting excited over there. Amen. You know, prejudice has always been a problem. I want you to think about, oh, by the way, it's not really racism, it's prejudice. Amen. It's prejudice. It means that you've had... Don Baker from WTOC had put something on Instagram, and I have most of it right. I don't know if I have all of it right, but I like it. What she had said was not all blacks are criminals. You know, I believe that. Amen. And she said not all whites are racist. But she said ignorance comes in every color. It does. And that's where we are today. By the way, it's not racism, it's prejudice. You can have a prejudice about many, many different things. Jeremiah this week had got over a prejudice that he used to have. 4 years old, he had a prejudice. You say, preacher, how in the world, what are you talking about? Now listen to me. He thought he didn't like bacon. We had tried to get him to eat bacon before, and he wouldn't eat it. He's like, no, I don't like it. Have you tried it? No. You know what that is a prejudice. He didn't know. He had never tried it. And boy, we had tried to encourage him. This is the same boy that when we were on vacation up to Maine and back, that had had the desire to have broccoli juice to drink. But he didn't like bacon. You want to talk about a stupid prejudice. Bacon. I'm telling you, if there's anything holy, it's bacon. I'm thankful that God had said that all that I've made is clean. Amen. There should be horns blasting on that one. But listen, Jeremiah tried one little bite. I put it in his mouth. I was like, here, just try this. I put it in his mouth, and his eyes opened up wide. And you know what he said? You know what he said? Can I have some more? Jacob was late getting home from work. And we didn't think Jacob was going to have any. Because Jeremiah was going to eat it all. Listen. prejudice has always been, even in the church. I want you to think for a moment about that first century church. This was a church where there were Jews and Gentiles together. Do you know that the Gentiles were considered dogs by the Jews? You say, preacher, how awful. Guess who the Gentiles are? You're here today and you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And yet they were together, they were able to fellowship, they were able to have that unity and that closeness. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of James. Turn over to the book of James. I want you to look at James chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 1. And don't think that this don't happen. Don't think that this isn't still going on in churches today. I'm talking about a prejudice here. Look at James chapter number 2, verse number 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor things of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name which by wit the which you're called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and have convinced of the law of as transgressors. Now, I look here and I see the problem. That even they would look at someone and they would say, boy, that's going to be gain for me. You know what most of the time is the prejudice that's going on in America, it's in what gain it would gain the ones pushing it. I'm serious now, but I don't blame the politicians. I don't blame the activists. I blame the church. You say, preacher, why is it the church's fault? God's not dealing with the nation. He's dealing with the church. God's not dealing with the activists. He's dealing with the church. It all comes back to the church. I've had it before where people will ask what color of church we have. They're not asking what color the building is. And why does it matter? By the way, my Savior's a Jew. He's not white. He's not black. He's a Jew. He's not Chinese. He's not Mexican. I'm trying to think of all the different ones that might get offended, and you'll never reach it. The fact of the matter is that the prejudice that's being taught, it all comes back to the church to deal with. It all comes back to the church to live that example. It all comes back to the church as the truth of what Jesus teaches. Say, preacher, where do you see that? Well, I think about the Good Samaritan. James chapter 2 refers to that. Love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus is given the account there of the most important commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. But the account that's given in Luke chapter number 10, he also goes on, and in all the accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he talks about love thy neighbor as thyself. And in Luke 10, he explains who the neighbor is. And he gives the account, and we call it the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan, we know there that there's this Jewish man that he falls in the perils of the thieves. And they beat him, they steal from him, they leave him for dead. He's laying there, and he's on that path. And there's a priest that walks by, the religious. You could even say it as the self-righteous. And that man that walks by, he sees him ahead, and he gets to the other side. I'm not even going to deal with him. I'm not going to waste my time. This was one that came from his own country. And then I find that there was the pedigree comes by. You say, preacher, where's that? Well, that's the Levite. The Levite comes by. He was one that was respected. He wasn't given a possession. His possession was the Lord. And yet, he goes to the other side. He completely goes around him, doesn't even want to deal with him. But there's one man that stops. A Samaritan. You say, preacher, what's so important about the Samaritan? Well, the Samaritans were considered half-breeds to the Jews. They were hated by the Jews. And may I tell you that the Samaritans hated the Jews too. And this man stops. And he tends to his needs. And he takes him forward and he gets him the care that's necessary. And he pays for that care. Who was the neighbor? The Samaritan. So why is it responsibility of the church? Because Jesus loves the little children. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. May I give you a fact that every one of us was placed here on this earth to be saved and then to glorify the Lord with our life. And I find in the book of 1 John, it's mentioned this phrase is mentioned five times in the Word of God. But it's mentioned three times in 1 John chapter number 2. And it says, He that saith. I told you earlier, there's a whole bunch that get on the bandwagon, but there's a whole bunch that really don't. Well, the proof's in the pudding. They really don't live their life. They really don't mean what they say. They're just doing it right now because it's popular. But may I tell you, there's three examples that we need to have that's found here in the book of 1 John chapter 2, in verses 1 through 11, that God gives us because red and yellow, black and white are still precious in His sight. Notice, if you would, we need to have the example of walking in the Lord. I'm not talking about by, and I'm not talking about near, I'm not talking about a testimony, I'm talking about proof. Look at verse number 3. In verse number 3, the Bible says, And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, there's that phrase, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. That's not the preacher saying that. It's God saying that. And the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Do you notice that? He says, he that saith. And then there's a test that you must go through. And once you've passed that test, once you can say, that's the truth in me, then we know. Notice this. It starts with a changed relationship. I find in verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so I look here and I find that it begins with a changed relationship. A changed relationship. You say, preacher, where are you changed? Well, I'm changed from a stranger to a son. Did you notice that he said there in verse number 1, My little children. My little children. That doesn't just mean that I'm one of the little children in the group. I know that Caleb and Callie would be mad at me if I included them in there, but there's little children in this group. There's some, we'd call them, especially some of the older ones, we'd call them, well, they're still minors. No, hold on a second. They're still little children in the church. But may I tell you, that's not what this means. It's not speaking about their age. It's speaking about their relationship. In fact, if we were to go back to the meaning that's found in the Greek, it means the ones that are born in. Oh, I'm thankful to be born again, that I was born into the family of God. And it starts with that changed relationship. I was changed from a stranger to a son. I was changed from damnation to deliverance. Notice in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse number 11. In 1 John 5 and verse number 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, I'm thankful that I'm changed and I'm kept by the Son when I sin. That's a new relationship. You see, he talks there in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 1. He said that we shouldn't sin, but when we do, we have an advocate with the Father, the Son. Isn't that amazing? That the Son keeps me. Why? I have a new relationship. And it stays with a changed response. It stays with a changed response. I like verse number 5. In fact, in verse number 4, we find this keeping not of His commandments. In verse number 3, he says that if we keep His commandments, this is speaking about the divine will of God. May I tell you that the divine will of God, just in the generic sense, is to do according. That's what most of the people know. Well, I know about the Ten Commandments. May I tell you how much more there is to God than of the Ten Commandments? That's the generic will. I'll be honest with you. It bothers me when they take the Ten Commandments down because, well, they want to deny that there's a God. And that's the sense that it bothers me. But it also bothers me in the fact that they only believe that the Ten Commandments are the only thing that's important. And I find in verse number 5, he goes on, he's not just speaking about the divine will, he's speaking about the direct will of God because it's the Word of God. May I tell you, as a child of God that's been changed in our relationship, there should be a response, a changed response. As a lost person, you don't want the truth. As a lost person, you want to live your life and no one's going to tell you what to do. But as a saved person, no, hold on a second. As a son, may I be honest with you for a moment? I don't want my boys to do what I say because Dad's going to beat them to death. Now, I think there's been some times in their life that they were afraid of that. But I'd much rather them do what I ask them to do because they're a son. And look in verse number 5, he says, "But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him." In James chapter 1 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I wonder how many times we've heard someone tell us that they know the Lord, but according to verse number 4, they're a liar. I'm just being honest. Oh, and by the way, how many times as we pick and choose what we want to do according to the Word of God, are we really a liar? You say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved." Yeah. Yeah, but the truth isn't in us at that time, is he? We aren't listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you lose your salvation. But I'm telling you, we grieve the Spirit. And we're not listening to the truth. We're deceiving ourselves. May I tell you where we are as a nation? Is it's full of a bunch of churches that are deceiving themselves. Because it's full of a bunch of people that have a profession that say that they know God, but they don't keep His commandments. And the Bible says that they're liars. And so I'd ask us, are we living the example? Listen, may I remind you that the example that we have in our communities and in this country is not just when we come to church. Hey, it's not very often I get to preach to the community. It's not very often that many from the community even come. In fact, what I get to do is I get to preach to them because we're going to have a drive-in service. Praise the Lord, we might celebrate COVID weekend every once in a while once this clears up. I don't know. We'll just go ahead and call it outside. We're just going to preach outside so that we can have a COVID memorial. Well, I'll preach fire, hellfire, and damnation to the neighborhood so that they can hear the truth. That just because you say it, if he's not really in you, because you're not doing what he says. I'm just preaching Bible. And so I find here that we need to live that life outside the church, not just inside the church. Notice as well, the example that we have is walking in the light. Walking in the light. Notice this. In verse number 6 of 1 John chapter number 2, the Bible says, "He that saith, he abideth in him." Notice this. There's our phrase again. "He that saith, he abideth in him." So I find all those that say, "I abide in him," although they don't keep his commandments. He goes on and he says, well, if you say that you abide in him, you ought to also himself also so walk, so to walk even as he walked. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, which ye had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." And so we've got to get a description of the light. You say, "Preacher, we're going to walk in the light, but what's the light?" I mean, honestly, we've got a light out today. It's really a little bit brighter than I thought it was going to be. I'm almost to the point that I want to preach with my shades on. I want to preach with my sunglasses. I'm kind of staring into the glare. I see Brother Sutton over there. He's kind of, I'm not sure he's not practicing his Indian stance. He's got, you know, that Indian scout look that we always seen on TV. And so, I don't know what God is trying to show this world with some light, but may I tell you, the churches aren't shining the right light very often. It's about the light of programs, and it's about the light of participation, and the light of everything else that the world would appease to. But I find that there's a true light. He says there in verse number 8 at the very end, "And the true light now shineth." Well, what is that light? Notice, if you would, over the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In Gospel of John, chapter number 1, we find about this true light. In John, chapter number 1, I want you to look at verse number 9. In John, chapter 1, and verse number 9, the Bible says, "That was the true light, which light every man that cometh into the world." That true light is speaking about Christ. I find here in verse number 7, "The same came for the witness, to the witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And so I find as well over in the book of John, chapter number 8, look at verse 12. In John chapter 8, look at verse 12. In John chapter 8 and verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 12, look at John chapter 12 and verse number 35. John 12 and verse number 35. In John chapter 12 and verse number 35, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." Oh, may I tell you, there is a description of the light here, as Jesus is still the light. I'm thankful that that light's still being shown, but hold on a second. He's not here physically. And so we find the reflection of the light. The reflection of the light. The Bible tells us here in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, that we should walk even as he walked. Walk even as he walked. Look at 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 7. But we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so we think about this light. We need to walk even as he had walked. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now, that sometimes means in past tense, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, may I tell you that we aren't the light, but we're the reflection of the light. In Genesis chapter number 1, God explains the creation. It explains that he made the sun. And the sun was the ruler of the day. And it was the greater. But then there was a lesser light. And it was the moon. And it was for the darkness. May I tell you where we are today? We're in the darkness. You say, preacher, are you calling us the moon? Well, I'm calling the church the moon. You see, we're really the stars. We're just kind of shining. The moon is that light. May I remind you what the light is? Or what the moon is? It's a reflector. The moon has no light of its own. The moon only reflects the sun. Hold on. You know what's happening? We have too many new moons out there. You say, preacher, you mean they're shining their own light? No, the new moon's dark. It doesn't shine any light. It's not reflecting anything. You remember the little song that we sang? Hey, we're on children's songs today. You remember the little song? And we sing it every once in a while in the choir. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We were listening to a Rochester CD the other day, and it was talking about little people. Little people for God are sometimes big people. It's not because of how big we are. It's because of the light that's in us that needs to shine. Oh, listen, church. We've got to come to the place where we shine the truth, that we let them see what truth looks like. It's not about hatred. It's not about a race. It's not about a gender. It's not about anything about that. It's all about the Lord and teaching them how to live. But he teaches them how to love. Notice this, and I'll hurry. Oh, let me remind you why people like darkness so well. John chapter number 3, it teaches us that men love darkness because their deeds were evil. And so I find as well that we need to not only be walking in the Lord and walking in the light, but we need to be walking in love. You know what's missing from church today? And I know we're a unique church. We are. We're a church that loves each other. And that's very important. Notice if you would. In verse number 9 through verse number 11 of 1 John chapter number 2, he says, he that saith, there's our phrase again, he is in the light and hateth his brother, is in the darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so I'd ask us today, how are we walking? The Bible teaches us about our author of love. Over in the book of 1 John, and just turn there quickly with me, in 1 John chapter 4, we find in verse number 7, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth, in verse number 8, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but God, loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I want you to look at verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. And so we look here and we find the author of love. I'm thankful that God is love. I'm thankful that he loved us. He loved us from the very creation. Before he ever breathed life into Adam, he knew that he was going to send his Son. Jesus knew he was coming to die. and he was going to be the sacrifice. He was going to be the acceptable sacrifice, the propitiation, the one that could forgive sins for us. Pay the price that we owed. That's how much he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so we find the author of love, but then we also find the application of love. It's toward the believer, and we would easily say that. Of course, I showed us 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. But look over at verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother, this is speaking about within the church, this is speaking about the believers, is a murderer. And he knoweth. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so we should have a love for the believer. In verse number 20 of 1 John chapter number 4, he says, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. There you go, being a liar again. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You say, preacher, but you don't know what they've done. I just know what the Word of God says. And you say, preacher, how's that going to help the country? How's that going to help the world? What's it matter if we love each other? May I tell you, this is where it starts. If you can't love the saved, you'll never love the world. You'll never love the world. Not the way that God loves the world. You say, preacher, it's easy to love someone when they love you. Now look at verse number 2 of our text. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2. For he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. May I tell you when God showed his love toward us? The Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse number 8, it was while we were yet sinners. May I remind you, and some are going to say, well, preacher, you know, I'm easy to love now. No, you still sin. And God still forgives. You say, preacher, this world hates us. In 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 13, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. In the Gospel of John chapter 15 and in chapter 17, he speaks about this as well to his disciples. May I remind you how much they loved him? Enough to yell out, crucify him, crucify him. May I tell you what our example needs to be to this world? It's to love them, even when they don't love us. To love them where they are, that they may see the love of God through us. This is what the Word of God teaches for the church of God to do in a time when our nation's being divided and ripped apart because of greed. That's really what it comes down to. But there's many that are falling prey to it. They're believing the lies that they care because there's someone special to them. And they're not. They're not. But there's someone special to God. And God's desire is for all to be saved. And God's desire is for us to shine His light where we're walking in Him. May I tell you, you'll never do this. Listen to me. You'll never love this lost world. You'll never love the brethren unless you're first walking in the Lord. You'll never shine His light unless you're first walking in the Lord. You'll never love the brethren unless you're shining the light. You understand that it's progressive. But I'd like us to just remember that those little children that are red and yellow, black and white, grow up to be adults. And I don't know how to change the words of the song, but may I tell you that all are still precious in His sight. And every single person in this world is loved by God the Creator and God the Savior. And God the Forgiver, who's all one. And so, church, are they precious in our sight today?
Are we getting aggravated at the turmoil? Listen to me. I hate the lies. I hate the false doctrines. I hate the innocent fallen prey. But the truth of the matter is they're being fed by the deceiver. He's my enemy. He's my enemy. And so I encourage you that they should be precious in your sight as well. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Father, for the truth that you give us, that you still love all mankind. And Lord, that as a church, we should show them our love because you loved us first. And that the love of God should be perfected in us. That they would see that it's not because of a race or a gender. But instead, Lord, it's because of you that we can even know what love is. Real love. Perfected love. Father, I pray for a closer walk with you. I pray, Lord, for my light to shine even brighter. Lord, I pray for my love to grow even stronger. Lord, I don't know the needs that's out here today. Maybe there's some that would be lost and don't understand where they're going to spend eternity. They know that they're taking a gamble. They're hoping to go to heaven. But Lord, I'm thankful that I can know that I'm in you and that you're in me and that eternal life dwells in me. And Lord, I pray that if there's one like that today, that they would come before it's everlasting too late. Then, Lord, I pray as well for that one that might be here struggling. Lord, maybe there's a prejudice in them. Lord, I know I had made light about Jeremiah's prejudice about bacon, but truthfully, Lord, prejudice are really ignorance where we don't know, and so often we're scared of. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to never have a prejudice against anyone, against anything, but instead, Lord, we'd have the truth dwelling in us. Take this invitation. Use it to your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. God spoke to your heart. I'd sure encourage you. If you want a chair, I'll put a chair out here for you to pray. It's been a while. We haven't had an actual altar. I'm thankful for a God that loves me. But I'm thankful for a God who loves all and teaches me how to love all also. God spoke to your heart. It's a need in your life today. You're here today, you say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity." Oh, my dear friend, I beg you to come. I can't save you, but there's a God in heaven that loves you, died for you. Amen. I want to thank everyone for coming. Don't forget, I'd like to have a really brief meeting with the men right after. We got to get everything put in, just in case it's going to rain. Listen, I'm thankful for the cooler temperatures. Just a blessing to be able to come out, and I mean, I really do believe it was a blessing that the sun wasn't beating down on us.
Amen.
And I just had a great time. Amen. And a great ringtone too. Amen. Brother Stephen, I don't know if you kid, but close us in prayer if you would.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, the opportunity to be able to come, Lord, and worship you. Have your word preached to us, Lord, and no doubt the message that this whole world needs at this time, Lord, all the confusion, Lord, and the chaos going on, Lord, I pray that, Father, you just speak for our hearts, Lord. Let us be that light and show the love of God to these that need us so much, Lord. And I pray that you'd forgive us the times that we fail you and come short, Lord, and that you'd use us for your honor and glory, Lord. And we thank you and love you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.